Good morning and welcome here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The author of this day and the author of our lives, the author of eternal life that was paid for. It was paid for. And, you know, there's a scripture that talks about, and I think I may even have it on one of my slides, about the earnest of our inheritance of the purchased possession, and the earnest of the inheritance, the purpose, and the workings of the Holy Spirit in your life, which is a taste of His presence. It is the witness of His presence, of the Father and of the Son, of the purchased possession. And actually, I may be getting just a portion of a scripture, but the purchased possession. And that's you and I. You and I are that purchased possession, purchased with the high price of the blood of a lamb, and the only one that could be enough. The only one that could be enough. The only one that could pave that eternal way, could pave that sacred way that you've begun upon and have faith in. And, you know, as each of us study the gospel and have studied the scriptures and so on, and each of us, we have a deep felt conviction or understanding over different parts of the gospel that may mean more to us than to others. Not that they're not all equally important. And how God will relate them to our understanding. To our understanding and our purposes and in our ways. And what's important, and what I wanted to look at this morning, is how you and I are sharing it. How you and I are sharing it. You know, the world's kind of gotten this party stigma, or whatever you want to call it. I want to ask everybody here, between yesterday, 2016, and 2017 today, do you feel like a whole different person now? No, I didn't think so. And you know, it was kind of humorous. There's people that will take and spend a lot of money to spend time with a million other people in a particular place to watch a light drop, and thinking that all of a sudden things are going to be different. You know, so much different, just in the counting of time. You know, well, time doesn't mean anything to God. Only when we come into play, when to count. You know, and what I was thinking about too is in the scriptures when he talked about when he laid up the heavens, when he laid up the stars, the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars. And what I think is so neat is that do you know why he put them there? You know, he knows we needed light. You know, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He says he made the stars also. You know, for days and hours, for time, for seasons, you know. You know, and I'm not going to mess up that verse because I think it's very important. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars. And actually back in verse 14 of Genesis 1, he said there'd be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. And you know what's really neat, and I'm drifting just a hair a little bit, but doing some study on some archaeological evidences and about the race of people that were upon this continent, if you will. And the Smithsonian tried to hide evidences of these people existing here that were much larger than we are today. And they had to do that because it messed with their ideology of evolution. Because the ideology of evolution is that man is on his way up, not on his way down the way they are. And that man was actually, they were much bigger. And so anyway... But these people, and showing evidences where a lot of places, a lot of cities, a lot of archaeological dig sites and so on and so forth, even to the copper finds that we find in the Book of Mormon, in the UP, different places, were laid out according to constellations and different city sites in the world, laid out to geometric constellations, summer solstices, things like this. And they're finding a lot of these on the East Coast. Some of these, they call them dolmens, and they were like stone structures that the lids or the roofs of these things were several tons. We hardly have machines that could pick them up today, but the ancients did. And so, but the ancients knew, and we have down in the ruins of South America, the observatories that were built in order to be able to, they prophetically tracked time. And of course we know in the Book of Mormon, even as our children were showing in their play about the sign of the birth of Christ, to his birth and even of his death. And those things were tracked. And they were prophecies even as well according to them. But regarding all those things, you know, a message been upon my heart for many reasons. It has to do with you and I and being ambassadors for Christ. I have some questions I'm going to ask you too. Not that I maybe expect you to take a deliberate answer right away, but some I hope that you do take an accounting of. You know, the common message seems to be, you know, in the new year, pledges that people make, isn't it? Things that they're going to do. And I'm going to ask you to look back over some things. I'm going to ask you to look forward to some things. There are questions that only you can answer. There are only things between you and God Himself. But there will be things that people should notice about each one of us, for specific, powerful, spiritual, and eternal reasons for witness. The scriptures declare that each has a flame lighted in the name of Jesus Christ, especially for the restored church. It's a very powerful, truthful, eternal message that God has sent forth upon the earth. Man didn't do it. Man maybe have been used, but God did it. It's God's work. And God is doing His work today, you know. And the thing is that we want to be in and have a portion in it. God's work and His purposes will go on without us. We want to be in step into that wonderful, marvelous, powerful, sacred plan of His. His restored church that is also placed within the scriptures and also prophesied. And so each of us are keepers of a sacred flame that has to be shared or witnessed. You know, last week we had a couple of the kids come up and lit a couple candles. And I read a scripture. And I have that scripture coming up even as well. And the light that lighteth every man in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have that and should have, and that light should be bright and burning and continually fueling as we're fueling that flame with one another. And the scriptures bear this out, how important that is. As it talks about in John, the 15th chapter, that I'm not going to be turning to, that we abide in the vine. It's very important that we abide in that vine. Jesus said, you can't do anything of yourselves, but unless you abide in the vine, and that is through His power, His love, and that of the Father, to abide in the vine. We are fueling the flame of the zeal in our witness of the gospel. You know, and the thing is how important that is, and important in the body of Christ too, because that your faith and how it is translated in your, if your good works, if you will, and your love for one another, affect the level of blessing in the body of Christ. And so we can't just say that we're an island to ourselves, but it does affect other people. How the Spirit may move according to our humble and meekness in the body of Christ. How important that is. Thinking about, that's how we're thinking on other people's. What are we bringing? What are we witnessing? How do others hear our testimonies? You know, do they see our good works? Do they see our faithfulness? Do others in the body of Christ, do they see as we're, even as we're singing hymns, do others see us singing with that passion for Jesus Christ? Or that faith? Do they see it? Do they hear it in your singing, in your joy? Do our children see that witness of mom and dad or grandma and grandpa or our friends or our brothers and sisters, if you will, singing with a zeal and a passion? I remember when I was much younger ago and sitting in the body of Christ, even over in Flint, and there were those, I remember in my mind's eye, in my memory, singing those gospel hymns with a truth and a passion. And inspired me. I remembered those things. Those pillars in the church. And each of us are going on to be pillars in the church. We may talk of those of times past that sat in our midst that may have gone on to the reward. We need to remember that flame has been kindled and burning in you. And you are going on to be and should be that pillar in the church that others are to see and to know. We are keepers of a sacred flame. Our time together builds and strengthens not only our bond with one another, but with our God that we serve and our witness in the world. You know, we are bound in order to, we are responsible. We have been made responsible. Too much is given, much shall be required. We have so much in the Church of Christ. Because it's God's words, God's restoration, God's work, and His purposes that He's laid out for this, the latter day, before the coming of Jesus Christ. There have been many times in the Scriptures talk about the latter day, but to go out and the pruning of the vineyard. We all have a portion, you know, in that. We may look at the ministry. We may look at where we may travel, where we go to witness, where we go to take and to talk to people. But you know, congregations grow when congregations witness and invite. That's how that works. We're all been made responsible, as it talks about 2 Peter, that we're a royal priesthood and royal generation. We should show forth the praises of Him that's called us out of darkness. You are a royal priesthood. As it talks about those that will enter into the millennial reign, it says, those that have overcome, you shall be priests of God and of Christ, and you shall reign with Him for 1,000 years. I believe that we'll be using in that teaching process in the millennial reign the perfection of knowledge of those that need to be taught. Of the innocent, maybe, that have entered into the millennial reign, but need to be taught. Remember, priests minister, and those that have overcome and enter into the millennial reign be priests of God and of Christ. It talks about in Revelations, I believe, 21. In 2 Corinthians, in the 5th chapter, 22-21st verse, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. To be reconciled means that there had to have been an argument or a difference or some sort of a separation, wasn't there? And there's a separation between the natural man and God. And we need to constantly now, and those of us have entered in, by the way, and that we have reconciled our heart and our life unto the Lord. We need to be constantly remembering that we need to talk to that dear friend. We need to let him know. We know that he sees all things, but he wants to hear your prayers. The scriptures all declare about you keeping in touch and your prayers and lifting them up for one another. For the cares and concerns. How about praying for yourself, for your understanding, praying for others and them as well. For he hath made him to be sin for us, Jesus Christ. He made him sin. He bore that all, that sin that it talks about in the book of Hebrews, 13th chapter. That they took him outside the camp. He was made sin. They laid all the sin upon him. He was the sin sacrifice. Now, we may sin. And those sins do count if we don't repent of them. Those sins do count. They're not repented of them. And that's called the ministry of reconciliation, or to be able to come boldly under the throne of grace, having that access, you yourself. There are thoughts and there are prayers and there are things that you may discuss with the Lord between you and He alone. We know there are prayers that we have with one another, you know, and we declare, hear them. Others hear them. And it's wonderful to hear each other's prayers and listen to one another's prayers. But there are those private conversations, as Jesus talked about in the book of Matthew. He says, there may be times when you enter into your closet, you and He alone. Not like the scribes or the Pharisees, that, of course, that was for their show. That was for their falseness, to want to be seen of other people, if you will. There are times that you need your own place, wherever that may be. Now, of course, we must be careful about, you know when it talks about texting and driving, sometimes God wants to have wisdom about the praying and the driving. Not that there are a lot of situations that we've got to watch out for that, you know, probably need prayer, instant prayer. But he hath made him sin to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That through Jesus Christ, his ways, his gospel, the Spirit, to be made righteous. But that takes our effort, where it takes our part. There is our part. And we've been made responsible, you and I. God has that, he has a vested interest in you because he loves you. And he's purposed his plan and his Spirit and his salvation in you. He has purpose and he has sent you forth to predestined to salvation. I believe that's the true meaning of that word talks about predestined in there. Not that he already knew that you're gonna go to heaven or go to hell. Not that at all. He predestines you for eternal salvation. It's like a ship that's set on the course of the ocean. Set in forth for a promised land, if you will. It depends upon the storms of life, the choices that we make, the perils we come upon, how we handle them, how we come through them. If we stay on course, we reach that destination. And you must set on that course. You must set on that path. You must set on that destination. And you must make that journey. If you do not make the journey, you will not make the destination. And that's the truth. We cannot say that when we get to the end of this life, like some of these so-called programs say, that at the very end of it all, then the person was all right and he made it in. Never did anything throughout his life, but then all of a sudden made it in. As the scripture do not declare that, our God did not say that. Jesus said, "How knoweth a man the master that he has not served?" John, in the first chapter, verses 1 through 9. And this one I know we read last week, but I wanted to read this one again. In the beginning was the Word was with God. And this is Jesus Christ. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, see, it takes on personage, doesn't it? All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay? And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And it talks about the light of Christ, the breath of life breathed in by the very Creator himself. And he lit the light in every human soul cometh into the world. But what about us? Are we bearing witness? Okay, everyone okay back here? Okay. Okay. The light that lighteth every man. And it is that kind of that light, that passion, that zeal, the assurance. Do you have a brightness of hope? Do you have an assurance of the path that you're walking on, leading into eternal salvation? There's a scripture that talks about that. Can you look up unto God in that day and say that our works have been the works of righteousness? Or he says, Alma says, can you hear the Lord say in that day, come unto me and inherit the kingdom of God? Could you hear him say that to you? Do you have that assurance in your life? Because it talks about perfect love casting out fear. Do you have fear? Do you have a torment? Thinking seriously about the path you're on, where it's headed, and have you served our Lord the way we should? In the book of Philippians, in the second chapter, verses 13 through 15, for as God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, have we turned ourselves over to the Lord? Do we pour out our prayers and our problems do it to the Lord and ask him for help? Have we let him do his good pleasure? Or are we intent on doing things our way? Problem comes up, I will handle this. There are times that physical, temporal situations that we need to handle. We know that. And he's given us an intellect to be able to do that, to solve issues, problems, and things like that. And give us God-given good common sense is the way I guess I want to put it. But have we let him have his good pleasure in our life? Have we let him work a work on our life? Let him guide and direct and to heal our ways. There are things that come to pass that we need to have him heal in our life, physically and spiritually. But to let him have his power in our life. Sometimes we can pull up a barricade, if you will, to the Holy Spirit, and not let it have a sway in our heart. It works upon our humbleness to submit to him, the Holy Spirit being God's holy presence. But it'll work according to our obedience to his commandments, our meekness, our humbleness in our lives. It works in our asking for forgiveness, not maybe harboring things, you know, that we shouldn't do. There may be adverse or impure thoughts that we need to push away. But we need to guide our souls. We need to guard our souls. But do all things without murmurings and disputings. Where is our... Once again, I keep asking the question, where is your joy? Do anything without murmurings or disputings. Our positive outlook and our joyfulness. Remember, Jesus said that I have come that you may have joy and that your joy may be full. This is what he's planning for you. But that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, when it talks about that we need to shine as a light in the world. He said, we're without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Is that way today? Can we say that today about our nation and many things? There are things that going on in our nation today, a once godly nation, that never. We have abominations that are going on in our nation. Abominations. And we need to shine as a light today. I believe there are things that are going on today that are worse than what was had in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we won't go there. But you and I, need to shine as a light in that nation today. In this world. In our places. In the things that we are inspired to do. Many people say that I've heard, I just don't know what I can do to make that difference out there. Have you asked God? Have you honestly asked God what you can do in order to further His holy work in this the latter day? Have you asked Him? There are a lot of things that we can do. Many make goals at this time of year. Some get carried out. Many do not. False promises made at the moment, a new year, many made in haste, many made in excitement, for jesting, whatever the reason. We hear them, don't we? We hear them all the time. What are you going to, the most common one, you're going to take off more weight. You're going to eat better or whatever like that, you know. And I know I already need to do those things. I know I need to try to be a better person. I don't need to take and make those sorts of pledges, things like that. But you know that people do those things. And it's not wrong to make a goal. I think it depends on making the right ones and how it is inspired and for what purpose and what plan. Well, I do have some questions for us. How would you tally up the events for Jesus Christ during the past year? I want some soul searching that you can do. What have we done in the name of Jesus Christ this past year? Have you done what you think we should do? Of course, we should always have the energy that we should be doing more. As we serve the Lord Christ. But just thinking back past this past piece of time. What have we done? In the name of Christ. To help out in that holy work. To help other people. Once again, a question that you can ask. But something I believe that we should ponder. Book of James says, "Life. What is your life but a vapor? It appears for a little while and it vanisheth away. But looking at our lives, do we shine the joyful light of Christ to others? How do they see your life? Do they see the light of Jesus Christ in your life, in your ways, in your comments? The things that you may do or the things that you stay away from? I do believe that there are things that are in the world that are very worldly, that are very, they can even appear worldly in our life that we need to abstain from. There are even places that we got to be careful probably not to inhabit or to go near. Peter said that even the appearance of sin. We even have to watch those things. But I believe a spiritually minded person is going to know about those things and to stay away from them. We don't need to make a parade about where we stayed away from or the things that we're doing. We're not supposed to make a parade, nor are we guaranteed a parade for our own pomp and our own circumstance. Leads to pride. And so, do we shine the joyful light of Christ to others? Would someone hear about your joy? Would they hear it? Would they hear it in your words, your comments, are your words headed up or headed down? Are they encouraging? Are they encouraging to others? Do you find the best in a situation? trying to and make the best out of a situation and learn from it. You know, there are even when, you know, if we take a look at the book of Job, he suffered some pretty awful things. Some pretty awful things. And I believe he did the best he could in order to endure through that, even though his friends told him, they'd say, yeah, go ahead, curse God, die. And he wouldn't do it. Remember, the devil was the one that had his little prophecy there, if you will, and say, yeah, you go ahead, skin for skin. You go ahead and touch him. He says, he'll curse you to your face. You know? It didn't happen. But God rebuked Job's friends at the tail end. And he said, now you take a look here now. You go talk to Job and you have him pray for you. But I will not deal with you in your folly or your mistakes or your bad advice and so on. And Job even learned at the end of what all he went through that he needed to be humbled. The Lord asked him, where were you when I created the earth or the foundations of the world and hanged it upon nothing? Where were you? Who are you to send counsel to me in my and direction? You know, you but are of dust of the earth and the air that you breathe. The Lord said, all those things are mine. They're mine. But Job needed to learn humbleness, even the end of it, and the Lord rebuked him out of the whirlwind. Would someone witness or recognize the gospel in your ways? Now there's a kind of a loaded question, isn't there? You might say. The gospel and all of its tenets and that faceted gem. You take a look at a diamond. A diamond is cut with pieces around it in order to make a diamond. It's kind of cut off. You see little triangles all over the diamond. And so I use, those are called a facet. And I use that word because it shimmers and it glines. It glimmers and it glows. Especially in the light. And I liken that to the light of Christ. But would someone witness or recognize that light of the gospel in your ways? Once again, I've also said about your comments. How do your comments go? Do we listen to our words? Do we watch our words? Do we gauge our words? You've heard me say this many times. Not everyone has a right to everything I have to say. There's certain things I have to hold back. Doesn't diminish the truth, take from it. Doesn't mean I need to speak all things that I know. Of course, I know that'd be a short conversation. In Exodus, the 19th chapter and 5th verse, I always like this passage. Therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And the children of Israel saved out of a terrible bondage in Egypt. And they were led across the sea. The sea closed up on the chariots and the horsemen and so on. And the Lord said, I've taken you unto myself. And if you will obey my covenant indeed. And we know, of course, that has to do with the old law and the old covenant. And we know that was fulfilled in the new. By the same example, the Lord would bless them and then loved and served them. When they loved and served him, he would bless them. The same example is for us today. I was like that example. So I've bore you up on eagle's wings. I've taken you unto myself. You know, in the name of Jesus Christ, he's taken us unto himself. He has gathered us out of the world. You look at the percentage of Christians in the world. Then you look at those that acknowledge Christians. You take a look at those that are honestly serve him or... There's kind of a percentage of those that are devout Christians that take it seriously. But and no matter what, the percentage of what's in the world. But he's gathered us. And even down to the time of the restoration. And we see that special and specific word of God, that truth, in his church that was restored in its full luster and authority. Purpose and plan according to prophecy, revelation, time, just when he said it would be, when that statue stood full on April the 6th, 1830. The same example there for today, you know, that if you will, we will obey that covenant, and we've made a covenant with him through the waters of baptism and acceptance of the holy will of God in our life, that we would serve him. The same example is there for us today. In the book of Titus, in the second chapter, verses 11 through 15, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we looking for him? Are we witnessing for him? Are we telling others that he's coming? Do we tell them that there are signs and wonders that are coming to pass today and shall be? There shall be a time of tribulation that's going to come upon the earth that's never been since the beginning of the world. Is what has been promised. Are we witnessing of that? But who gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people? Not odd, different, but those that he has sanctified and he has called, that have heard his calling, that have come out of the world to not be conformed, but transformed by the renewing of their mind. But zealous of good works, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And remember, you have the authority given through Jesus Christ to shine as a light in the world and to do the things that are pleasing in the Lord's sight. You have the authority to be able to speak the truth out there. There's time when it needs to. Certainly needs to be done in order to correct an unrighteous matter, or to be a peacemaker, to be one of the seed of Jesus Christ, as it talks about in the book of Mosiah. He sees his seed. He says, when his soul was made the offering for sin, he shall see his seed. And I'm paraphrasing, those are making peace. But you are the seed of Jesus Christ. You are his sons and his daughters. And so, let no man despise thee, he says. But we find that talking about witnessing, the desire of King Mosiah's sons. Remember, those ones, they were struck down as they were going about to destroy the work of God and the church. And the Lord said, you know, you're not going to do that. And the Lord has a way of taking care of these things. You're not going to destroy the work of the Lord. He won't have it. And it'll go on with or without us. And that's where the humbleness needs to come in our mind, come always in our forethought, that we are that special individually, that the Lord won't do his purposes another way or through someone else. See, it is wonderful that he has gifted with so many in the church and that are making full advantage of helping in the gospel. We've got to be careful that pride. We can't have that false pride. And so, Mosiah 12 and 5. Now they were desirous that salvation should be declared to every creature, for they could not bear that any human soul should perish. Yea, even the very thoughts that any soul should endure in endless torment did cause them to quake and tremble. And thus did the Spirit of the Lord work upon them, for they were the very vilest of sinners. They didn't want anyone else to endure an eternal punishment. That is the love of Christ that inhabits our mind and our souls. Salvation should be declared. Remember when those boys, and I couldn't tell you how old they were. They were probably young, maybe in their late teens or early 20s, something like that. And when they left to go up among a ferocious people, now the Lamanites had proven that they would take the lives of the righteous. They had proven that they had done that. And when they left to go declare the word of the Lord, they had no idea. They were just going out to preach it. They didn't know they were coming back home. They didn't know that in a little while, Like when we go out to a particular country, missionaries in the church, and we're pretty reasonably assured, you know, we got a plane ticket for the ride back, and pretty much sure we're going to come back to our houses. Now we don't know for absolute sure. We put ourselves in the arms of faith. But much more assured than these boys, they just went out. They said they've been out for 14 years and were preaching out. And it could happen within our church. We may have a group of missionaries go out. Something may happen in the world. Who knows? And that's going to be their new place to live. Just may be the way it could be. We don't know. You know, things are especially for going on into tribulation. And remember, the gospel will be preached by the power of the Lord. It's going to become more difficult. There have been places that they were shut down from not coming home. We had the situation. I mean, over in Nairobi, I believe it was, they weren't able to get back. There are times we've been having to hold back, or our brothers and sisters in a certain area say, "Don't come right now; it's not safe." Or a time when they get off the plane, and I know with Brother Frank and Brother Mike that the brothers and sisters surrounded them and walked over to their cars because of the adverse influence in the area. Is our vessel fit for the Master's use? That's only a question that you can answer for yourself. Is your vessel fit? Is it able to be used? Do we need to work on that? Are we available? And are we prepared? And it talks about 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his." And that seal is placed upon our heart and in our life and in our evidence of faith. "The Lord knoweth me, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Have we prepared our thoughts? Have we prepared our heart? Have we prepared words? Have you let yourself be available to speak, or have you shied away from conversations and not wanted to answer? And weren't we able to answer maybe that question, or in being in that situation? Remember, Jesus told his disciples, "He says, I will give you in what hour what you will say." Will you let yourself be used? Second Corinthians 2:2-3. "Ye are our epistle written on our hearts," or our letter, our edict, "known and read of all men." All can see, remember? What's read upon your life? Can they read your life? "For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." What's written in your heart? What have you allowed God to write there? And are others able to read that in your life? Are you able to witness that to others? Do we have something we need to work on if we're not able to witness? Is God counting on us for a witness? He sure is. He has a vested interest in you. Ephesians 1:11-14. That I would like to turn to, please. Most of them I have written out. Only one, possibly two, I have where we need to turn to, and this is one of them. Ephesians 1. 11-14. in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And you remember, and you've heard more than once, my definition of predestination. It's a very, very commonsensical thing. You are predestined to eternal life. That's what happens along the way, whether you reach that course or not. But that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit. And now this is really neat, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's kind of a down payment, if you will, a taste and a portion and a witness of heavenly things. Have you felt it? Have you ever felt the power and the working of the Holy Spirit that brings a person to submission and to humbleness and obedience? The Holy Spirit of promise, the presence of God's own love and power in your heart and life. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, or bringing back unto himself, the redemption through Jesus Christ, the purchased possession, that's you. You were purchased with the blood of a lamb, Jesus Christ, unto the praise of his glory, the glory of the Father. But the earnest of our inheritance, like a down payment, if you will. Real evidence in your heart and in your life. And you can only receive that through meekness and humbleness in our life. There's a key. There's a key to submit and to push off the natural man. Page 218 in your Book of Mormon talks about being a saint, being obedient to him in all things. But in 2 Corinthians 4:6-7, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we had this treasure in earthen vessels. We are but of the dust of the earth, and breathed the breath of life that he breathed into us, and we became a living soul. But that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. And we are a new creature created in Christ Jesus spiritually, being born again. Breathe the breath of new life and unto life eternal. But yes, we're an earthen vessel and a chosen vessel of the Lord even as well. How have you filled your vessel? How have you, each of you, how have you filled your vessel? What have you filled it with? Have we filled our, you know, in the world, have we filled our vessel with mush? With nonsensical things? Or we filled it with spiritual, powerful blessings of God's power that money could never buy? What have you filled your vessel with? How have you furnished your temple? Things to consider for the coming year. Just consider some of these things. Ponder upon them. Philippians 1:27. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith, or you might say faithfulness in the gospel, the evidence of sharing it. Is your conversation as it becometh the gospel of Christ? Or would others say something like, you know, that someone said something off color. I just, where in the world were they coming from? Where did they get off the boat? I had someone say that to me about a person that was at work, happened to be a minister in another congregation. Won't tell you who doesn't in that. But they said, Adam, why is he swearing? And I says, I don't know. I know he shouldn't be. That didn't look very good, did it? Not a very good witness for that. Was his conversation in the gospel? No. I'd seen the fellow blow up like crazy. And one time I seen a fellow that was talking about all the attributes of the Holy Spirit, and you got to have the Holy Spirit and all this stuff. And I'd see him blow up and do some things and throw tools and curse and so on. Not good. Not good. Third Nephi 5:63. Therefore, let your light so shine before this people, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Not glorify me. Not glorify ourselves, but glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, this is my last scripture, by the way, ye which are spiritual. If a person is overtaken in a fault, and we, you know, people can make mistakes. But you that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so to fulfill the law of Christ. One another among us, we bear the burdens of one another. Someone has erred, somebody has fallen, some have become weak in the gospel or whatever, or has needs, you know, physically or spiritually, we would help them. You know, bear ye one another's burdens. Not always looking to our own burdens and exemplifying our own, but we find that we find relief from our own burdens. We find answers to our own problems when we're helping others. But others that may be overtaken a fault, there are those that have drifted away from among us. We need to reach out the best that we may know how. You've heard me make this reference before. We throw out that life preserver with the rope on the end of it. And the best that we know how in the gospel, and we pull real hard as we know how. We've got to be careful that we're not going back the other way into whatever may be in the sin or problem or whatever, but to be able to be good, strong help. To be able to help one another. But there are many things that we could talk about and we could share that would help to build and to strengthen our witness through Jesus Christ. So I thank you for your love and for your prayers, and as we enter our next portion of our services.